B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably gonna talk about it.
Come on, man. You know I only surf Transformer sites when there's girls around so they can see how cool I am.
Nerd Radio starts now.
Despite what you may think, that is not actually me saying that during our intro.
Are you sure about that?
I can point out exactly what movie that's from.
I can point it out too, but
yeah,
it's funnier if we pretend it's you.
Fair enough. Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Bean, joined by James.
Hello.
Already heard it, and Mr. Al Beck.
Who
has finally discovered his drops. Has been using them all morning.
Like a baby learning to walk.
No.
Exactly, since we got in here. Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio. Last week we were talking about the Game Awards. We'll talk about that this week. We've got some other stuff going on. I got some Pokemon news for you. But before we get to all of that, let's dive right into the bad news from this week. A couple of people who had passed away. Mm. Our death watch.
What? Al, we got a death watch?
We got a death watch, absolutely. The first one, I'm not sure if either of you guys are familiar with the comic book artist Richard Corbin.
I'm not.
He was he did a lot of work for Heavy Metal magazine. If you remember the movie back in the 80s, mm-hmm. the Heavy Metal movie. Do you remember the
animated part, boobs.
Right. Do you remember the part that John Candy did the voice of the character, and he was like this fantasy caveman? He's this little kid, and then he finds the gem. And it becomes this fantasy
caveman. Recall John Candy's voice. I'm not picturing that yep. character in my mind.
He saves a lady from being sacrificed, and then they do the nasty and all sorts of fun stuff. Well, that was based on a comic that Richard Corbin had done for Heavy Metal magazine called Den.
Hmm.
He worked a couple issues of the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic book, which was really cool. He's done a bunch of great stuff. I was a fan where, like, if I saw his art on something, I'd be like, ooh, what is that?
I gotcha.
Lots of horror comics and lots of very weird science fiction, but he passed away December 2nd following a heart surgery, according to his Corbin Studios Facebook account.
Unfortunately. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if it's attributed to the surgery. You're doing the surgery to hopefully prolong your life, and sometimes it doesn't go that way.
It's the kind of thing, too, because he worked in comics for so long. Like I said, he did a couple issues of Ninja Turtles, and he did a couple of series for Marvel, but never any of, like, their big characters. Like, he never did a Venom miniseries anything like that. And I always would have liked to have seen it. Whenever I discover an artist in, like, an independent comic or something, or, like, somebody does something for one of my Transformers comics, I always want to be like, man, I'd really like to see them draw the X-Men.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
See what kind of spin they'd put on it.
Exactly. The other person in our death watch that we found out last week was Tommy Tiny Lister.
Debo.
Yeah, last week at the age of 62. He was Debo in the Friday movies. He was the president in The Fifth Element.
That's right. He was the president in The Fifth Element.
Yep, and he was Zeus for the WWF.
WWE Zeus.
Back in the 80s in the very first Hulk Hogan movie, No Holds Barred. He had not tested positive for coronavirus, but he did pass away exhibiting COVID symptoms, according to his manager. So our hearts go out to the families and friends and fans of both of those guys. Let's talk about something a little bit more positive, though. The Game Awards.
Yeah.
Last Thursday. I watched them. I'm sure he did.
So interested. I was so blown away by all those awards.
What game
was
it you were really pulling for, Al?
Oh, that one with the buttons and the jumping.
Yeah, yes.
I think I won an award, actually.
Well, you would be very happy to know that the one with the buttons and the jumping, known as The Last of Us Part II, walked away with 6 awards. Was that the one with the buttons?
Sure. No, that's, I think, The Last of Us Part I is one of the Jefferson recommendations that I ignored years ago.
Yeah.
I think that was one you decided not to play because it revolves around pandemic stuff.
Yeah, it's like a zombie one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know there's no way in hell I'm going to play a zombie game. I've been freaked out. Like, James always talks about the game being too scary. I've been freaked out by scary video games ever since that first Resident Evil.
And dogs come through the window?
Well, not even that. I didn't even get that far. Oh, my brother rented. Remember, it wasn't even Blockbuster, but it was some other rental store. My brother rented an original PlayStation, and he rented the first Resident Evil, and you turn the corner, and that zombie thing is eating something on the floor, and I was like, nope,
that was
I'm out.
Huh?
That was it.
That's the slow reveal, too. That's not even like if you take a right and you go down that hallway and they wait for you to get halfway down it and then dogs come busting through the window. Mm-hmm.
It's not dogs busting through. It's Mr. X or whatever, the tyrant guy busting through walls.
There was those weird frog guys midway through the game that would jump and just claw your head right off.
Oh, the hunters. Yes. Yeah. Those hunters were brutal.
Yeah, I remember when that game first came out and we discovered that scene. Because everybody, the first time you see it, you're like, ah! Because it's what it's constructed to. But the weekend that game came out, somebody brought Resident Evil over to somebody's house that we were going to play Dungeons & Dragons. And every time somebody new would come in, we'd restart the game and be like, here, play it. Here, go to the right. You start by going to the right. Yeah, just go down the hallway. And then they jump and we'd all laugh our asses off.
Yeah, so that was it for scary games for me. So
yep.
Last of Us Part 1 or Part 2, nothing for me.
I'll probably play Last of Us Part 2 just to play around with that guitar part where you can make him do the different chords.
Play
the stuff.
You have a guitar. You play a guitar.
I know.
Just play your actual guitar.
But he wants to play his guitar through a controller in a virtual outlet.
I'm going
to
say no, okay? Because he's already, first of all, Chuck is good at guitar. He plays well, and he's already spending time on Rock Band or whatever, you know, which I'm not going to dog him on because he does play an excellent instrument.
Yeah, no, feel
free. But if you're going to pick up Last of Us 2 just to play the guitar, I am going to give you a hard time. Play your actual guitar.
Well, other big winners at the...
You're not Mark Hoppus or whoever it was.
Other big winners at the Game Awards. Final Fantasy VII Remake took away Best Score and Sound and RPG, so three awards.
That's cool.
Hades, the game I described to you as Horny Diablo, took away Best Indie Game and Best Action Game. And Among Us got Best Multiplayer and Best Mobile Game.
Which, that's wild to me because that game's been out for a few years.
Like, yeah, I think it came out the year before. The mobile version came out this year.
So is that how they're kind of sneaking it in? They're like, it just came out on mobile this year, and it's coming out on, I think, the Switch this week. It's going to be available on the Switch.
Yep, came out. I was going to mention that. It came out yesterday.
Oh, it was yesterday
on the Switch.
It came out. Okay.
For $5, you can play Among Us on your Switch. I played a little bit of it before I came in, like at 3, 4 in the morning or something like that. I tend to prefer the controls on the phone.
Yeah.
Over the Switch?
Well, it's so you have to communicate through all text then. There's no chat.
Yeah.
That to me is what's hard to try to convey.
And typing on the Switch screen is not great.
Jay Moore wrote in the Twitch chat. Of course, people can watch us live on Twitch Wednesdays afternoon, 11:30, yada, yada, yada. But he put on there that he bought the original Red Dead Redemption to play Horseshoes.
Just so you can play Horseshoes?
I'll tell you, though, I did. My brother and I would play. You know, he lives in Vegas.
Yeah.
Before he had children and responsibilities, and I'm still just my own only child. We used to hook up and play video games online together, and we would sit down and play poker on Red Dead Redemption Online.
I was pretty into the poker game on there. I mean, part of it was tied to an achievement, but part of it was like, this is all right. I told you guys my poker story, how I learned I was playing it wrong, didn't I?
I don't think so.
Okay, so before Red Dead Redemption, before Red Dead Revolver, which was the one on the Xbox, or no, it was after Red Dead Revolver, there was a game on the 360 that was just called Gun. And it had a great voice cast, and it was kind of a smaller version of what Red Dead Redemption would end up being. Mm-hmm. And you could play poker in there, but you could take a card and shove it up your sleeve, so you could keep a card while you were playing.
Cool. You have the ability to cheat.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I'd never played poker before, so I just thought that was one of the things you did.
Oh, my God.
So years later... People are like, let's play poker. I'm like, okay, I kind of understand how poker works. And they hand me the cards. I'm like, okay, where do I put the card that I keep? And they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, the card that I keep off to the side between hands because it's the good one. They're like, you don't. That's cheating.
Oh, God.
That's hilarious. Good thing it wasn't like a real like underground big money poker
thing.
And Chuck's just like, he's got all the aces up his
underground
sleeve.
Casino in Detroit.
Yeah. I get friggin' murdered.
Wow.
And he's like, hey, where do I keep my cheat card? And they're like, you're what? Pow.
Oh, yeah. Well done.
Yeah. Well, back to the Game Awards. Game of the Year was Last of Us Part Two. Hold on.
That Among Us thing that you said, you know, like if it came out a couple of years ago, I do think that's kind of BS. It shouldn't have even been up for it.
Yeah.
You know, it sucks for the game that it wasn't discovered until years later, but I feel like that's it shouldn't count that that it was re-released as a mobile or something like that. Like, is Jurassic Park going to be up for an Oscar? You know what I mean? Because it came out in theaters this year. You know, like, you know, that was a number one. Didn't they do, like, you know, Empire Strikes Back 2?
Yeah.
They had theatrical releases this year. Does that count?
Yeah. Lots of old movies got put out. Wasn't even E.T. on there, too?
Yeah, there was a lot of them. Yeah.
Because, Ghostbusters was...
Because there was nothing new, and the drive-ins were like, people are coming, so we want to show something. Mm-hmm. And it's a cool idea, and I know that, you know, there's a... chain of movie theaters that, you know, in normal times, they've got a throwback a couple of days a week.
Oh, for sure.
MJR does a throwback thing, and they'll play
during the middle of the week when no one's coming to the theater anyways. They're like, oh, let's play an old
movie. Up a classic movie that, you know, and I've gone to see a couple of them. It's like, oh, dude, I never got a chance to see Casablanca on the big screen. This is cool.
I knew it. Wow.
I actually have not seen that one in the theater, but it was like the first old movie that popped into my head.
Because I remember when we would go to the theater seeing those commercials for like, hey, on Tuesday night, we're playing Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
On Thursday night, we're playing Marx Brothers Duck Soup and thinking, Al Beck would be there.
Dude, I would totally go see Duck Soup.
It's probably Al Beck Presents. Yeah. The Marx Brothers.
But there's a range. There's like movies from the 40s and 50s, but they also had like Gremlins one night I saw. I didn't go to it, but I saw that it was available. I think they played Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
They did a whole month where, you know, each day they did a different Lord of the Rings movie. So, you know, it's not like all the way throwback, but... Anyway, point is, Among Us should not have been eligible for that.
I thought it was awesome because the whole thing was virtual. I don't know if either of you guys watched it, but the whole thing was virtual. People doing, you know, Zoom calls and stuff, and it was on Twitch. And the development group for Among Us is four people big.
Wow!
So when every time they won, like the girls on the team were just in tears. They were so excited and so like, oh my god, I can't believe. Mm-hmm. You know, this game that we made and then nobody cared
about. Can't believe this game we made 2 years ago won an award this year. Can't believe we're cheaters now.
Well, I would, up to me, James would be at the front door ripping that award out of their hands.
Give me that award back! We're going to give it to a game that rightfully earned it.
And I would
that was released in this year.
I would enlist James for that task because it would make it funnier.
Oh, you're crying because you're so excited you won an award. How sweet. Give me that award. Game of the year.
I'm sure there's some people that worked on Call of Duty Mobile or Genshin Impact that are real salty about it too.
Yeah, this belongs to a real new mobile game called Call of Duty.
Best community support went to Fall Guys, Ultimate Knockout. Best VR game went to Half-Life Alyx, which I would play if I had a VR unit. Action game was Hades, best RPG. Best fighting game went to Mortal Kombat 11, Ultimate.
I can see that. Was there any other fighting games come out this past
year? They had Street Fighter V Championship Edition, the One Punch Man game, Under Night Inbirth. In Grand Blue
Fantasy. One Punch Man became a game?
It did.
Wasn't that an anime thing?
It is.
I remember Jefferson loving
it's
that.
It's about a superhero that trained so much and is so good that all his fights end in one punch, so no one knows who he is because you never see his fights. Like the villain's like, ha ha, you can't it. And then it's over before anyone can get their camera out and take a picture.
Huh.
Best sports racing game was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. Best sim strategy game was that Microsoft Flight Simulator.
That's a strategy game?
I guess.
Just don't crash your plane?
It's simulation and strategy.
Strategy not die is my day-to-day life.
Best esports game was League of Legends. Best family game was Animal Crossing. That's not a surprise. Best debut indie game was Phasmophobia.
Wow. That's one of your favorites.
It is. I was pretty excited to see that. They also had Eddie Vedder play the song from The Last of Us.
Okay.
That the character plays in that. Yeah, he performed it. A symphony orchestra played like a bunch of Super Mario songs.
Oh, that's cool.
The 35th anniversary of Super Mario.
That's cool.
And they had the band that did the music for Persona 5 play the most recognizable song from that, which was funny because for about a minute I'm like, I know this is from Persona 5, but I don't remember it. And then they hit the hook, and I'm like, oh, this is a song every time I got in a fight.
Okay.
Now I get it.
I would like it if like there was a super nerd who was really super critical of the orchestra playing the Super Mario themes and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, does anyone remember that episode of The Simpsons where Marge takes Homer to see a live orchestra perform the music of Star Wars? And he gets all like smart and criticky. Where he's like, are you listening to this? That bassoon came in way late. Drops the line in there like, George Lucas would be rolling around in his grave.
That's hilarious. Overly critical over the music. That trumpet was mistimed.
Yeah, exactly. That dude is slightly out of key.
Yeah.
They also announced the big thing, the big reason to watch it was they announced a bunch of stuff. They showed the next season of Fall Guys. It's got a bunch of snow and different costumes.
Maybe looking at me to try to play it again, but I don't know when that's going to happen.
But different.
No, are you off?
It's
the...
so impossible. Like, they make Fall Guys so difficult. And it's, to me, it's all random. Like, there's not a lot of, maybe there's some strategy to it, but to me, there's not a lot of strategy. You're basically relying on random physics to land certain jumps. And I mean, there's a lot of timing involved, but for the most part, it's just, please God, let me be one of the qualifying people across the map.
I feel a little bit like with other games where it's like people younger than me that have way more time to play this game are way better at it than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how much
they
fun
they played
I can
each level
have.
72 times.
Yeah.
I probably played a total of 72 maps, I guess.
Hmm.
They also revealed that the next fighter in Super Smash Bros. Is Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, cool.
Which is pretty neat. They showed a remake of Perfect Dark, which was the game that Rare made after GoldenEye.
Nintendo 64? Yeah, it was like a female first-person shooter.
Yep, that's coming out. The guys who made Left 4 Dead are doing a new game called Back 4
Blood.
That
I'm excited for. I actually applied to be a part of their alpha test.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping I get that. Like, that'll might launch my career into PC gaming. I could play Left 4 Dead again. That'd be awesome. That's my one scary game I'll break the rules for.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to be scared. I just need somebody to say, pills here.
Pills here. Grabbing pills.
Ammo here.
They're putting a Forza car in Cyberpunk 2077 as a crossover. And the Swedish Chef is coming to Overcooked.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Already.
They had the Swedish Chef there to announce that he's going to be in that Overcooked game. Have you guys played Overcooked?
I have not. I just know
it's a blast.
Like that is like a beer game with the
Tapper.
It's
essentially Tapper, but you've got like orders that come up, and then you have to like make the burgers, and you can play it with up to four people, mm-hmm. but you have to stay out of each other's way. Me and Amy play it sometimes, and on the PlayStation.
How many fights does it start?
A few.
Yeah, how many times have you burned the eggs or something?
Oh, very many.
It, Chuck, you're burning the eggs again!
Yeah, no, I'll consistently just take control and just be like, all right, go make sure, get the plates, put the buns on the plates so that when the meat's ready, I can put it on the buns. And
yeah,
get this.
Put that meat on the buns.
That's
huh?
right.
Hey, baby, get in the bedroom. Get those buns ready.
Put the meat on the buns.
I'm coming to put the meat in the buns, you know what I'm saying?
The game that I was interested in that they announced there is Evil Dead the Game.
Which is weird.
It's a little strange that they're doing an Evil Dead game, but I was psyched because it looks like another four-player, probably multiplayer game. And you can play as Ash, you can play as his daughter from the TV show, you can play as one of the knights from Army of Darkness, or you can play as Scotty, his best friend from the original Evil Dead.
Really? Like one of the guys in the car?
One of the guys that gets killed fairly early in the game. And so I want to see what that's... It's also weird because Ash is already in Dead by Daylight. And it looks like a very Dead by Daylight kind of game. So.
Crazy. So you can play as Ash in Dead by Daylight.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
so Ash is one of the dudes running around trying to turn the lights on?
Yep.
And what's the evil monster that's tied in with him?
I don't remember if they added like an Evil Dead monster.
Oh. Is he voiced by Bruce Campbell, too?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, because most of the time they'll add a monster, like, you know, the Ghostface killer from Scream. But they've also...
Also from Wu-Tang Clan, I believe.
Sure. They've also, when Stranger Things came out, they added a couple of different, I can't remember her name.
Well, they had the kid, the guy and the girl that worked at the ice cream place.
Yep.
And then they also had the friggin' monster, right?
Yeah, the Demogorgon.
Demogorgon. I don't know why I couldn't think of the Demogorgon name.
Looking to see if there was anything else here that's,
So this Evil Dead game, like, I know they had an Evil Dead game in the past.
They've had a few.
Okay. Like, was there a demand? It would just...
I mean,
Bruce Campbell's looking to get paid, and the developer was like, hey.
It's definitely a cult thing. Like, they don't make hand over fist money when an Evil Dead game comes out, but they mm-hmm. definitely make money.
Absolutely, they do.
In the same way that there's been Army of Darkness and Evil Dead comics for, you know, the last 20 years.
Oh, wow. They're still printing comics, too.
Different people will get the license to it for a couple years and then make Evil Dead comics. And, you know, you're not making X-Men money, mm-hmm. but it's a steady stream of
putting food
of income.
On the table.
Right. Master Chief is coming to Fortnite.
Ooh,
that's a thing. So the Game Awards were really kind of fun. I don't think I've ever actually watched a full Game Awards before.
Did you watch this full one? Wow.
I did. Yeah, like I got in. I thought it started at like 7 or 8, but it started mm-hmm. around like 6:30 because it was over on the other coast, the West Coast. So I just put it on my phone and had it up while I was working and checking it out and seeing what they announced. I was really hoping for that Silent Hill or Metal Gear Solid. Announced or that rumor from a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, nothing confirmed on that, huh?
No, unfortunately. Like you said earlier, though, Among Us is on the Switch now.
Yeah, sorry if I stole your thunder there.
No, not at all. I was psyched to see that yesterday that you can now, as long as you've got the online, the Nintendo Switch online service, that Among Us is on there and you can play it. It's pretty cool. They also announced that they're bringing more more games to the Switch online, the Super Nintendo and the
More of those games.
Don't get too excited.
Oh, man.
The only one you've probably heard of is Donkey Kong Country 3.
Oof. The third one, huh? Do they even have two?
They do. They've got the other ones already.
They had
up
the original one on there.
Yep, they've got the original.
I am going to start releasing things starting with the number 3 or 4. Yes.
Yeah. By popular demand, here is Al Beck.
Yeah.
Part 3.
Donkey Kong Country 3, Dixie Kong's Double Trouble is coming out along with a fighting game called Tough Enough that I've never heard
of. I like
of.
It. Tough Enough. That sounds familiar.
There's a firefighter game called The Ignition Factor and a side-scroller called Super Valis 4, which I only remember because I played, I think, Valis 2 on the Genesis because it was anime. Like, it had, you know, anime girls in it. And, you know, back in 1987.
We all know Chuck's got a thing for anime girls.
Well, back in 1987, finding anime anywhere was kind of difficult.
Sure. Yeah,
so anything, any video game that resembled anime. They're also putting the game Nightshade on the Nintendo app.
Nightshade.
Yeah, it was a weird kind of point-and-click text adventure.
See, that rings a bell, too, but I thought that was on my computer.
It might have been, because I think it was one that was on the computer originally and then was translated over to the Nintendo. But that's all coming out at the end of this week, December 18th. Somebody in the chat saying Tough Enough was a WWE talent show. That might be why it's familiar, but that is not what this game is about.
Yeah, that's not the game that I was looking at. And the game I don't recognize at all.
This game is absolutely a Super Nintendo Street Fighter knockoff. Somebody cobbled together in about 3 months when Street Fighter 2 was a huge deal.
And do you know what Nightshade kind of looks like that I brought it up on my computer? It reminds me, did you guys ever play that game Narc?
Yeah.
So for some reason, it looks similar to that.
Right.
But I can't see any of the gameplay. I'm looking at just screenshots.
Here. Sure.
But it's like weird. The cover of Nightshade is exactly what I remember, too.
Yeah.
I never played that one, though.
Yeah, maybe you remember seeing it like in the stores.
Yeah, it was always one of those on the thing. I'm like, I wonder what Nightshade is. Yeah. I guess I'm going to go
the
with
cover looks
Mario
really
Brothers
cool.
2. Yeah. Or Excitebike.
All right, well, let's take a short break, and we'll come back. We've got more huge nerd news to get to as Disney announced a whole bunch of stuff for Star Wars and Marvel.
Oh, my God, a whole bunch of stuff. That's putting it lightly.
Yeah, we'll get into that next, as well as a couple other stories. It's Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I'm Jay Fosgate. I'm the creator of Bodhi Troll, and you are listening to Nerd Radio on Rift 2.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio. Make sure you're following us on all the social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, even YouTube at Nerd Radio 101. And, of course, download the podcast as part of the BPod Studios Network. So you guys excited for the next, I don't know, like 3 years of Star Wars and Marvel stuff?
Actually, I am. I'm looking forward to some of the stuff that they've announced.
It felt like they announced so much stuff that not all of it can possibly be real.
I agree, and I feel like they were listening to our show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things
yeah.
that were announced,
yeah.
we had a conversation saying yeah. it would be cool if this was a spinoff of The Mandalorian.
I take it you're talking about the Ahsoka
yes.
series that Rosario Dawson's
yeah.
going to be part of.
The character name that Rosario Dawson's playing,
yep.
like that I think I might be the most excited
yeah.
for.
Yeah, I know that of our 300 downloads, one of them is working at Disney.
Right. Like, hey, so that those Nerd Radio guys really yeah. liked Rosario Dawson in that Mandalorian episode. Maybe we should do more of that. Yeah.
Those guys are like 99% crap.
Yeah.
But 1% great ideas. Mm.
It's true.
They're worth a subscribe click.
Yeah.
Well, you're the 1% great ideas because who was it that was following you on Twitter and stealing your ideas?
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler. Yeah.
Adam Sandler's taking my ideas. She's trying to start the Adam Sandler multiverse.
Yeah.
When I was like, I feel like, what was it? Dewey Halloween or what right. was it? Whatever
oh,
his name
Hubie
was.
Halloween or
yeah,
whatever. Yeah.
Hubie Halloween. I'm like, I think it's just the Waterboy in another universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he's like, let's start the Adam Sandler multiverse.
Yeah.
I did see Amy sent me a video of a cosplayer doing Ahsoka on TikTok, and
yeah.
she had the two white lightsabers,
mm-hmm.
and I do I am really excited for how much crazy fun light stuff they can do
with
two white lightsabers.
Yeah.
That's going to be kind of neat.
I will say that as far as those announcements are concerned, I am excited and also not. I'm afraid of it being too much.
Yeah.
You know, at least for me anyway. Like, I'm already scared about Star Trek being too much that they're doing on CBS. And it was the same thing that happened with the Marvel stuff that was on Netflix. I fell too far behind, and then it just felt like an undertaking.
Right.
So then I was out. I was out completely. I stopped watching all of it because there was, you know, I couldn't catch up.
Right.
Which I think if there is too much, I think you'd still be okay because you could just focus on, like, the stories that really speak to you that you have interest in watching.
Right.
You don't really have to feel like that pressure. Like, I feel
Well, we'll see, though, because, I mean, so much of, you know, Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
If you don't read everything that's on the list, you don't know what's going on in the stuff you do care about.
I gotcha.
You know.
But I feel like they'll do it in the way that they're doing the Marvel movies. So you could still go watch, you know, any of the major Marvel movies and still understand the movie. There's still enough backstory to let you know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to see them all. You know what I'm saying? I trust them. And I feel like they're not going to just, here's everything. You know, they'll stagger it out to where you can consume
it. It does feel like they announce so much stuff, but at the same time, if it's like The Mandalorian and you've only got, like, you know, 8 weeks of episodes, then they can very easily, hey, as soon as The Mandalorian's over, here's an Ahsoka series. Here, as soon as this over, here's the next thing.
Bam.
Yeah.
I like a break, though. I like wanting something late. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I don't know. We'll see. Like, it sounds good. They did great with The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really factor in what the Netflix shows were for Marvel because it's a different animal.
Right.
I mean, I don't think it was ever officially said, but we all know the reason everything got canceled was because Marvel wasn't going to let Netflix making stuff. So, you know, it came out like, oh, we're canceling the show. Disney canceled you, Netflix. Like, yeah. you can't fire me. I quit.
Right,
okay,
exactly.
Sure. You know, but so we'll see. Mandalorian is really good, and I think it even got better this year than last year in a lot of ways. So I have faith. I'm cautiously optimistic.
There's absolutely something to the less you have of something, the more you treasure it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, when a week goes by and I only buy two or three comics, I'm way more excited for those than the week that, like, oh, crap, there's 10 things to buy.
Mm-hmm. And you might also cherish the comics you're reading when you have less comics more because you're like, oh, I got to enjoy. I only have
run into that
two
with
more.
Video games very much and Transformers. But we don't talk about that here. let's talk about the rest of the Star Wars announcements, though. Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor coming back for an Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Which I think is weird because everybody hated Hayden Christensen in that role as Anakin.
Right.
You know, are they bringing him back just so it has that, like,
here's the thing. According to the tweet, the series begins 10 years after Revenge of the Sith.
You won't even recognize him then.
That means he should be in the Darth Vader outfit at that point, right?
Wow, that's true. So or maybe you'll see the evolution of the Darth Vader outfit. Maybe it starts with these certain pieces.
Yeah.
And as he gets more and more into the dark side, more of his body starts to get sacrificed through all the evil powers and things that he's using.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was probably a role out there in Hollywood that was like, you're going to be in a suit, and we're going to dub over your voice, and Hayden Christensen's like, I got nothing else going on.
Right? They're going to do a Lando Calrissian show as well. Hopefully they can get Donald Glover back.
That'd be cool.
I would like to see
that. I want to see him bang that robot. I'm sorry. He was banging that robot.
He was totally banging that robot. Absolutely. Andor from Rogue One, they gave us a preview of that. Because they announced that, a year or two ago, that they were going to do that.
Andor of Rogue One.
He was the rebel, the sniper that didn't kill Mads Mikkelsen, that was kind of leading the team in Rogue One. He was the one with the robot. He had the big robot with him.
Oh, okay. I'm not up on all the character names.
Cassian Andor. They also retweeted that Patty Jenkins, who did the Wonder Woman films, is going to be working on something Star Wars. Also, Taika Waititi has something in development. And Willow. They're going to do a Willow show.
I think that's awesome. I know that's more Andy Green's cup of tea, but I thought Willow was great. I'm excited to see what they're going to do. I mean,
it was a pretty big part of my childhood growing up.
Yeah, like we watched
fun fantasy movie.
I watched it quite a bit. I just don't know what they're going to do with Mad Mardigan. Mm.
Never saw Willow ever in my life.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. I do feel like Star Wars will be a little more difficult to screw up if they kind of it's in the Star Wars world. I know it's a thing we've been saying since Force Awakens, like it doesn't have to be characters we already know. And even though The Mandalorian is kind of one foot in, one foot out, it's still, it all looks like Star Wars, but
that's
it's not
the
necessarily,
important part, right?
Yeah, it's kind of nice to get away from the Skywalker stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm super into that. Also, I had a story here from Kotaku. Somebody made a mod for the computer version of Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Oh, yeah?
They replaced the BB-8 with Baby Yoda.
Oh, nice.
So you can just fly around with Baby Yoda and the little thing. And
I didn't even realize you fly around with the BB-8.
Yeah, you can. When you get enough points, you can get a named character. Like, if you're on the dark side, you can play Darth Maul or, you know, Kylo Ren. If you're on the good side, you can get Luke Skywalker's up. But one of the characters you can get is BB-8.
Oh, that's nice.
That's cool.
Rolling around and electrifying people.
Forever.
And it's not a great character model, but the idea that it's there is really funny. Let's move over to the Marvel announcements from last week,
too. Yeah, tons of those, too.
Because holy moly, they finally gave us some trailers and some teases for a second trailer for WandaVision, which I'm excited to see how that's going to work out there. Gave us a teaser for Falcon Winter Soldier and Loki and the What If show that's coming out. That's going to be an animated show.
Is that going to be like the What If Wolverine fought? You know?
Yeah, the way it's supposed to work is every episode will be a different What If. And I would imagine
like that to me has got to be the ultimate nerd kind of program right there. Like they know exactly who they're targeting with that. And it's Chuck Bean.
The comic nerds.
Yeah.
What I'm not if sure Chuck Nightcrawler
Bean wasn't a diddler?
Yeah. I like that the stretch is that he's not a diddler. Well, that's just great, James. Chuck quit the show as history has proven we can't do a nerd radio on our own.
Oh, good. He's back.
We tried one time, and it was a massive failure.
It's not my problem. You can't handle the fact that Nightcrawler is a diddler.
Yeah. Chuck leaves, and then this.
Yep.
You know.
The sounds of Nightcrawler diddling.
You know, the last couple of weeks, while Callie was on vacation, they let me be on Checkpoint XP, and they actually let me talk about Transformers last week.
Did they?
Yeah. We talked about Transformers in 10 minutes.
You should audition to be on the show full time.
I should.
No.
They showed us kind of a sizzle reel for Miss Marvel, and you got to see the actress, and she's going to nail it.
Is this so the Miss Marvel that's in the Avengers game?
Yep.
Nice.
Kamala Khan. Okay. And cool. This young woman is going to be fantastic.
And I didn't really watch any of these. I just saw the announcements coming through on the internet.
Yeah.
I keep seeing people tweet about stuff, people going crazy. And some of them were so, like, I was so excited about them. I'm like, this can't be real. It's got to be fake.
That's what I was saying.
This many great announcements.
So many things at once. Yeah, like, that it's like, okay, a couple of these are fake, right? Like, this is a game where I'm supposed to figure out which one's real.
I'm going to break my heart.
What was the launch on Disney Plus? Was that about a year ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's the thing. Like, a lot of people who had those free trials, you know, for a year or whatever are up. Mm-hmm. So they're like, hey.
Oh, yeah, I've already been dinged.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Already. Yeah. It started coming out.
Ding, $60. Ding, $60.
They also announced that the guy who's directed the Spider-Man movies for the Marvel Cinematic Universe will direct the first Fantastic Four movie.
Now, see, this
for the
MCU. I'm interested in, now that it's in the hands of Disney, can they not F up the Fantastic Four?
Good luck.
You know,
it really feels like
every Fantastic Four movie,
like Dark Phoenix, like you've had a couple of shots at it and you screwed it up every time. So I don't know if
what is it about Fantastic Four that just cannot seem to translate into a movie.
I don't know. I mean, even if you look at the first Fantastic Four movies, the ones that had what's his face is the
Jessica Alba and Invisible Woman, and Chris Evans as
Johnny Blaze.
Yeah. The guy from FX's The Shield as the Thing.
Yeah, Michael Chiklis.
And I don't know the name of Mr. Fantastic.
No, I don't remember him either.
I don't either.
But if you look at those movies, they encapsulate the fun of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, they're very cheese.
Right. Even if, like, the plot isn't great, the villain isn't well translated, you know, some of the powers, the effects are kind of dated at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The family nature of the Fantastic Four and the fun of it really translated really well.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know me, I want my X-Men. I don't know what to, I'm hoping that they're
I think you probably still have to wait a little while for all the X-Men stuff to start getting put into works.
I am hopeful that they're going to do with the X-Men what they do with the Avengers and just kind of tease them in every movie.
That'd
over
be cool.
The next couple of years. Like Wolverine will be in this one and Storm will be in this one and
I mean and they have the ability to do that now. So
yeah.
I mean, do they have full ownership over the X-Men stuff?
Yeah.
So as of now, they have full ownership. so they can do whatever they want with it.
Right.
Man, how could you forget that Ion Grafud was Mr. Fantastic?
Is his name Ion or is it Ian?
It's I-O-A-N.
Oh, it is Ion.
It's Ion,
I
guess.
They didn't even get a named actor to play Mr. Fantastic, but they got Sweet Cheeks Jessica Alba as Invisible Woman.
Yep. Another, he was Lancelot in the King Arthur movie in 2004. Another notable role is the fifth officer Low from Titanic.
Wow. Well, the guy who played Dr. Doom, isn't he like the bad guy in like True Blood or something?
I think he was.
Or one of the characters in True Blood. He might have been a bad guy.
Yeah.
Julian McMahon.
You know that Mr. Fantastic actor, like that's the height of his career, is the couple of weeks you get to kiss Jessica Alba.
Absolutely, oh, my God. Yeah. It'd be my height as well.
Well, yeah,
Dr. Doom was in Nip Tuck. He was in Charmed.
Oh, Charmed is the show I was thinking of. Yep. Charmed. Yeah.
Sam Jackson is coming back as Nick Fury for a original series based on Secret Invasion.
Okay.
That was the crossover where
Skrulls... what's a little bit... give me like the quick 30-second rundown. What's Secret Invasion?
Skrulls had replaced a whole bunch of people on Earth.
Skrulls are the bad guys from Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Okay.
The shapeshifters. They had replaced a bunch of people, including a bunch of heroes on Earth, in a secret invasion that they would eventually take over the Earth with.
Like the Marvel's invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, and the heroes discovered it when Elektra was killed and turned into a Skrull, and then immediately was like, well, if she was a Skrull, then who else is a Skrull around here?
Wow. Elektra spoiling the...
I don't know that they'll use that for the...
spoiling the secret.
Yeah, I don't know that they'll use that for the show. Don Cheadle's coming back for an original series called Armor Wars. It's based on a famous Iron Man story.
A few guys to come back, like big names for stuff. That's kind of cool. I think Samuel L. Jackson was the only guy from the movies that showed up for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. aside from that Phil Coulson guy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was in it for like 2 seconds and was like, I ain't got time for this, and he left.
They announced that there will be a Captain Marvel 2. That's not as surprising. And that the Ant-Man and Wasp third movie is going to be called Quantumania. So they're going to be dealing more with the quantum
realm. What's the predicted release date for that one?
They have no release dates for any of this
stuff.
Okay,
this is just stuff that they're working on.
Hey, we're going to do this. Hey, this is coming out soon. Hey.
Okay.
Hey, got to back up for a second here. Jay Moore has just revealed that Victor Von Doom was banging Alyssa Milano in Charmed.
Well,
Victor
Von Doom and Aunt May?
Why was he so angry
had a
then?
Thing going on? Who knew?
Wow.
And which multiverse did that
have? Oh, you're thinking of Marissa Tomei.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a different person. I was all with Chuck on that one.
I'm like,
Yeah, he's really giving it to Aunt May. The doggy style and everything. She's doing all the positions. You should see her do the Spider-Man.
Richards!
Yeah. He only bangs Aunt May with a mask on.
Oh, man, yeah.
While we're talking about streaming services.
That's an Aunt May tingle right there. Marissa Tomei.
While we're talking about streaming services, too, Wonder Woman 84 is just about a week or two away from being on HBO Max.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
It's, HBO Max found a way to get my cash.
It's already got a 89% on Rotten Tomatoes as well.
Really?
So,
nice.
Looking forward to watching that.
Yeah, sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Is that news about next year, well, if it comes true still, that Warner Bros. Is going to release everything on HBO Max as well as theaters? Is that going to get anyone to sign up for it, do you think?
Maybe.
At least in this room, like, does that excite you? Do you like that news?
I will probably keep it. I'm gonna subscribe to it right off the bat just to see Wonder Woman 84, and I'll check that out. And once I know, like, in our house, we want to see the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
We want to watch that. So I know there's something I would have to resubscribe to it for.
Right.
But if I know I can see every single Warner Brothers movie that they're planning on putting out, and I don't have to put myself in any kind of a risk or at jeopardy of catching COVID by going to a theater.
Exactly.
To me, it's worth whatever I'm paying, if it's $10 a month or $15 a month or whatever, as long as I'm not paying more for my streaming services than what I would be paying for cable. Because if it comes to the point where I'm like, okay, we're paying more for all of these different services, we got to pick a couple of them and then cancel the rest and just pick up cable again.
Yep.
Because now it's like, well, how much money are we spending? We're not saving anything by cutting the cord and just using internet, you know?
Yeah. Not when you're paying for like 9 streaming services.
Yeah. Like, I think there's actually a meme going on online where it's like the Captain Planet characters. And one's like Hulu, one's Amazon Prime, one's Netflix. And then like when it all combines and then it shows Captain Planet, it's like, same price as cable.
Yeah. So true. So. It is true. I know I've got it already and I do like it, but I think
they've got a great selection of stuff.
They do. I've got Hulu. And I have the premium channels through Hulu, Showtime, and so forth or whatever. And it's kind of cool how Hulu switched it around where you don't subscribe to HBO. You subscribe to HBO Max.
Yeah.
So if you get live TV through Hulu, you get to watch all the HBO channels, but it's an HBO Max subscription. So you got your, you know, HBO shows on demand, but, you know, you can sign into that separate app and check out Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or Big Bang Theory.
How much is it to get HBO that way?
$15
Okay.
You know, which $15 is
$15 and they have access to HBO, HBO Max, all that stuff.
And that's the price tag if you've got cable and you subscribe to HBO. Like, that's just, that's how much HBO costs. Yeah. So
did you that's another movie that's gonna be on HBO Max is The Suicide Squad.
We'll be watching that. Out. You know, if they're putting that out.
Did you read John Cena said in a recent interview there was a scene in Suicide Squad that almost made him throw up?
No. Well, what was going on?
He said
him playing the peacekeeper or whatever?
Yeah. He said,
James is always asking about John Cena's gag reflex.
Thank you. Thank you, Al. I am quite interested in knowing his gag reflexes. I mean, I don't think I would have the tool to make him gag. But
and it was awkward for everyone.
Excellent use of the drops.
Yeah. So here's the quote. He said there was a day where they shot on the rooftop where they were all eating and he had to eat an empanada and took it upon himself to try and eat the entire empanada in a seamless take.
Oh,
this is going to look great. Well, the problem was is that they had to do the take like 40 times.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He did it once. He had to do it every time.
Let's see. He can't take an empanada? Oh, man, I might be able to cause him to But it's the fact that there's 40 empanadas.
Yeah, the fact that he had to eat so many of them.
Oh.
I wonder what flavor they were.
I don't know. I don't even know what an empanada is.
So an empanada is like a pasty.
A pasty?
Yeah, a pasty.
Okay.
A pasty is what you a woman or a man puts
on. Oh, it's what you put on your
nipples. A pasty is a delicious like meat pie pocket, like a hot pocket.
Like a hot pocket.
Yeah. It originated up in the UP, I believe, in the Michigan area, coal miners.
Yeah. I remember Taco Bell used to have that caramel apple empanadas.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So good.
And my grandma used to make delicious empanadas.
So good.
Taco Bell used to have a lot of things that they don't anymore.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I've got some Twitch streamer news.
Uh-oh.
Also, how much do you think Kevin from The Office makes on Cameo?
Ooh.
I'll fill you in next. It's Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Just in. Flash. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. America and all ships at sea. Nerd Radio is taking the country by storm.
This is Nerd Radio.
Thanks for downloading another episode of Nerd Radio. Make sure you rate and review us wherever you're getting that download. It's part of the Beepot Studios Network. And follow us all over the social media at Nerd Radio 101. Chuck Bean, Al Beck, and James covering all the things that have happened in the last week or so. As far as nerds are concerned. And I got some Pokemon news for you guys, which I'm sure you're extremely excited about.
Who's Pikachu banging?
That's right. So if you've got a Pokemon fan in your life and you still haven't gotten them anything for Christmas, Premium Bandai has released a sleeping bag that looks like a Metapod.
What's a Metapod?
It's the in-between between a Caterpie and a Butterfree. So a Caterpie turns into a Metapod.
Oh, man.
And the Metapod only has a
it's like
harden.
A Pokemon biology class here.
The Metapod, his only attack is to harden.
Oh.
Which just makes him harder to damage.
Pokemon sex it. Tell me more.
Right. And then once he gets a couple of levels, he turns into a Butterfree.
Once the Metapod is hard, where does he put this hard Metapod?
So that's my only daily goal is to harden as well.
Well, you can crawl inside this Metapod sleeping bag and zip it up.
Me or does this podcast get more infantile every week?
Every week.
That's my goal, man.
That's why I got you guys here. Well, I got you.
Come on, Al. The brainless dudes that are making it on YouTube. Dumb down the podcast a little bit. Throw in a little nerd spice.
It's true.
And ride this gravy train.
Well, while we're talking about Pokemon, a Twitch streamer.
Yo, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah,
thank you.
Kinda.
Thanks, Carl.
A Twitch streamer has been opening up packs of trading cards online.
Okay.
And he's opening up.
This is like unboxing on your
like
stream,
an unboxing.
But instead of toys, it's Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Which I've seen a lot of big name streamers bitching that they hate seeing people open up Pokemon cards on stream. And I'm like, who gives a single F?
Yes.
You are such a big name streamer, Shroud. I believe it was Shroud. And if it's not Shroud, I apologize, Shroud, for mistaking you for some other big name streamer who's a real a-hole. But like, you're a big name streamer. You turn on your computer and you instantly have 2,000 people watching you.
Yeah. Right.
You're making millions of dollars. Who gives a single flying F if some little small time streamer is opening up Pokemon cards? Like, who cares? If they're getting views, they're having a good time on stream. I don't understand why somebody who's making millions of dollars just because, you know, you're good at this one game. Oh, you're real good at CSGO. Congratulations. You know, these guys don't have the ability to be good at CSGO.
Leave them alone. They're good at opening packs of cards.
Yeah, leave them alone. It's the one skill that they got.
Leave Britney Spears alone.
Yeah. Why you got to be so mean, Shroud?
Oh, wow.
I even responded to his tweet. Oh, just twit.
It's twit. It's tweet. Tweet. No, we're the twits.
Yeah, and he's like, who's this twit? I'm making millions. I'm Shroud.
So a guy named Chance Soda Poppin' Morris.
Soda Poppin'!
Was live streaming opening packs of the Pokemon trading card game and then destroying the cards afterwards in different ways.
I kind of love this idea, too. I love it. What a twist.
He would open it up. He would show the stream what the cards were, and then he would take the rare, and he would dip it in lube or cover it in Cheetos dust.
Oh, you know, that's totally a James move,
yeah, because I'd have a little paper shredder.
As soon as I saw this story, I'm like, James is going to love this.
I'd have to do like a magic trick. Like, yeah. Here's this rare card, which deep down in my heart, I'm not going to be able to destroy because this is going straight to eBay to make daddy some money.
Well,
I'd have to pull a switcheroo. And drop the fake card into the shredder.
He revealed that one of the packs he opened had a dark Raichu card, which is estimated being worth $5,000.
Wow. And he shredded it?
Destroyed it.
Oh, no. You fool.
I know, because that's what sort of backfires on you.
I don't care
because when you're
many...
trolling, you're trying to hurt them.
Yeah.
But really, you just
joke's
yourself.
On you. You just lost $5,000.
To me, it's like if I'm a Pokemon player and I see that happen, I'm like, that sucks for you.
Yeah. And if you're a player, you're also like, good, it's one less card I got to worry about going up against with an opponent.
His live stream, it said, had approximately 100,000 concurrent viewers, and the archive stream is sitting at more than 1.2 million
viewers.
There you
go, because everybody wants to watch him destroy that $1,000
card. I don't care how many subs you got. It's not going to pay for that $5,000 Pokemon card you destroyed.
How many viewers did he have?
1.2 million archived views and 100,000 concurrent viewers.
100,000 concurrent viewers? There might be enough subs in there to cover that $5,000. That's a lot of eyeballs.
Yeah. Well, another viewer or another Twitch streamer that was actually playing the Pokemon Sword and Shield game was looking for a shiny Sinesta. It's a Pokemon.
Okay.
But in the Pokemon, the most recent
Sounds
Pokemon
like the
games,
latest Mazda.
It does.
Available at your local Mazda.
It does.
Dealer.
Sinesta, right. Yeah. In the most recent Pokemon games, you can get the regular versions of every type of Pokemon, but then there's a chance that they'll be colored different and they're shiny and their stats are better.
So it's like a holographic?
Kind of.
Oh, yeah. Wait, no, we're talking video game. We're not trading cards anymore.
Not trading cards, okay. No, but it's like it's almost like a holographic version of that Pokemon in the game. She estimated there was a 1 in 4,000 chance that she could find this thing, and she finally did was on stream.
She freak out?
She did. It's kind of charming. I don't know. Let me see if you guys can pick this up on the microphone.
I was
going
to say, if you send me the link, I can open it up on my computer. It can bring me up on the board. The
streamer's name is Agent V. But yeah, she was wanting to find, not only was she wanting to find a shiny one, but she wanted to be authentic.
2, 1.
Oh my God! What? Oh, shit.
More work for DMX.
Yep. She's so excited.
She's out of her chair, back in her chair.
Yeah. She can't sit still. I think at one point she leaves the room.
What's she so excited about again?
She found this 1 in 4,000 Pokemon in the,
gotcha.
In the game.
Okay.
She found the Albeck Pokemon.
The 1 in 4,000.
Make sure you take note. You got a couple of
I got a couple of, S-words to get out of there.
DMXs to drop in there.
I hear it. I'll find it.
Just had to put the podcast back on Rift 2, didn't you?
Just
Had to put it over the air.
Yeah, well.
That's awesome. I wish I could like open up a Pokemon or find a crazy rare thing like that.
Yeah, well, it's
you did. You got that Ritz Bits cheese.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, what was it last week?
My Ritz Bits. Oh, it was on Twitch when I ate it and found it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the giant, like, just a...
You should have reacted that way.
Yeah. Sandpaper cheese in my mouth!
Look at the cheese! Look at this golden, delicious nugget of cheese I found in my Ritz Bits sandwich crackers! Oh my god, this is the rarest chunk of cheese. What should I do? I should eat it.
Should I eat it?
I should eat it.
Should I put it on eBay? What should I do?
You know what? I wonder if I would have been able to make some cash off of it. I would have sold it on eBay or sold it to like some like eccentric snack collector. He's got to collect snack rarities, like nerds collect Pokemon cards. I'm like, I put it on the black snack market.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got about 12 offers for my giant nugget of cheese.
What was the aftermath of eating that much cheese all at once?
A little indigestion, yeah. But it was just like eating sand until my saliva kicked in. Then I'm like, it's like cheese whiz. It's like, all of a sudden, I was like, I got a mouthful of sand, and it instantly turned into, like somebody, like I literally, like I was suckling a cheese whiz titty is what it was like.
Suckling a cheese whiz titty. Yep.
Delightful.
All right. Well, I got one more story for you guys this week for Nerd Radio, and it's about Kevin from The Office, Mr. Brian Baumgartner, who I got the opportunity the last time I was at Motor City Comic Con last year to talk to, which was fantastic.
Find those interviews in past episodes of Nerd Radio 101.
Absolutely. How much do you guys think Kevin makes on Cameo?
Well, we can't really play that game because we already covered
You've already seen this?
Well, we covered it on the morning show, we can't go around the table and guess.
We can ask some of the viewers on Twitch.
Yeah, how about that? Anyone on Twitch?
All right, so you guys on Twitch, how much do you think Kevin from The Office makes on Cameo?
I think a lot of them listen to the Dave and Chuck podcast, so hopefully they missed that episode.
Well, while we're waiting for a couple of answers to stream in, let's talk about what the next couple of weeks, because we're in the end of the year here. We've got next week is Christmas on Friday. And then the week after that is New Year's on Friday. We're going to be doing the same thing we did last year for the holidays for Christmas. I've got a whole bunch of things you always hear at the end of our podcast, little conversations that we have that don't quite make the show. I've got a whole bunch of what is essentially our B-sides, and that will release on Christmas Day.
Cool, the B-sides.
That'll be our Christmas Day to you guys. And then on New Year's Day, we'll have our first podcast of 2021. We'll get to, I believe Al will get you over. You won't be here, so we'll get you over, was it Zoom?
Zoom or?
Yeah.
Zoom, Discord, Skype, one of those.
You'll be
whatever it is.
Phoning it in from home.
Just as much as I phone it in right from the studio.
But this time he'll be phoning it in his underwear.
All right. That's right. People in the Twitch chats already heard it on the morning show. The people over at Cameo revealing that Kevin Malone is making the most on Cameo at $1 million.
Wowie.
Who would have thought? Kevin Malone from The Office, the guy who spilled the chili.
Yeah.
Making $1 million on Cameo.
Do you know
Cameo.
How much he charges per Cameo?
Is he charging a buttload of cash?
And that's why? Or
let's find
That is kind of cool, though, when you think about like from his perspective, when he got this gig on The Office, all those characters that have their, like, I guess he wasn't using his real name, but like Oscar and Angela, those are their real first names in that accounting corner. A lot of it had to do with the fact that they were just sort of background actors and they weren't serious regulars. There's some sound coming somewhere.
Sorry, that's my phone.
Okay. Oh, got you. Okay.
Is there a child speaking?
I know.
No, not Al.
Same thing. It's the same thing. I was just over here trying to kill time while you looked up something.
No, that's Tiny Tina yelling at me. That's what my
but
phone
they,
ringer is.
We're not really planning on necessarily being important, big characters.
Yeah, they're just kind of guys in the background.
No, he's just a guy who was an improv comic. Who got a gig on the show and
now he charges $195 a piece for cameos.
Okay. That's not that bad considering how much he's making. You know what I mean?
So that means he's done what? 10,000? No.
Just tons.
Tons.
I ain't doing that.
So 10,000, I mean, hey, he'd have to do to get $1 million.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's $200. I don't know math. I'm sorry. I used to know math. I used to be a math whiz. Like, I'm not even joking. And now I'm like, what's 12 plus 4?
Yeah, well, now you've been waking up at 3 in the morning for what,
I don't
like the
think
last
it's waking
decade?
Up. I think it's more I abuse my brain with marijuana.
Well, that too.
Clogs up the old brain arteries there.
I used to be able to use my brain to think strategically and critically. Now I'm like, just what's the easiest way to get stuff done?
Give me more time to smoke more weed.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's Nerd Radio.
Perfect ending.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you guys for
all things that are good.
Thank you. I put Old Greg in there, and I was like, he has no idea what Old Greg is, but I hope he uses
it. I have no idea.
But any of that stuff, the Acid Lizard, Old Greg, any of it.
Is that seriously the end of the story?
It's seriously the end of the story. Thank you very much. Make sure you're following us on social media. Make sure you're checking us out on Wednesday afternoons around 11:30 at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. And make sure you're checking out nerdradio101.com because Al Beck paid money for it.
That's right.
Have yourself a happy holiday, and we will talk to you guys later.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
Glad to see y'all this morning. All having a chat. Al's trying out different buttons.
That's a new one. I mean, I think that's the first time I've heard Al push that button.
They've been here.
They've been here for at least a year. The entire time. I was looking when I fired it up this morning. I gave you like a line of Scott Pilgrim drops, a line of the Acid Lizard drops. And you just,
I don't know what any of that is.
No.
I just like this one.
It's just like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
I do crickets occasionally.
Right.
Let's run through them all. Screw it.
Well, okay.
Not once, not never.
All right.
Not once,
no
not.
Way. No way. Not my chin, not my problem. That's what I say.
What is this?
Yeah, right.
That's the Acid Lizard.
Yeah, right.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Wow. Is that seriously the end of the story?
If your life had a face, I would punch it.
Oh, my God. Where's Jay Moore? Jay Moore!
If your life had a face, I would punch
yes!
it.
Yes!
There you go. Now you've got one specifically for him.
We've been playing semi-nice lately, so just to reignite.
Oh, no. As soon as he came in, he was right on top of
I'm not going to go through all of them.
All right, fair enough.
I may just randomly start selecting them, though. Like, I don't know what this says, but let's give it a try.
And it was awkward for everyone.
I tried to label them.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.